Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour, time when we come together to explore the Word of God, to fellowship in His Word, that we may grow in His grace and in His knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, now and forevermore. It's always an honor and a privilege to go before the people of God. I thank God for the opportunity where He allows us to come together on Wednesday night. It is an opportunity extended by God for His children, and we are taking advantage of the time that God gives us together on Wednesday night, the body of Christ, partakers of the household of faith. And I pray that everyone had a good week leading up to this Wednesday, that everything was well. There's so much going on in the world that we live in. There's evil on every side, and evil is doing what evil does. And it is stated that it's going to get worse before it gets better. So I encourage each and every one of us to hold on to God's unchanging hand, because it's never what we go through, it's who we go through it with. Thank you, God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. At this time, as always, I'm going to play a song. And when the song is finished, we'll come back and go to God's throne of grace, where mercy can be found. The name of the song is Grace by Charles Jenkins. Because we got to realize, no matter what's going on in our lives, how it look, how it feel, what happened in the past, what's happening now, but our hope is in the future. And we know God is working it out together for our good. Hold on, my sisters and brothers, because God's grace is sufficient.
If it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, I don't know where I would be. Fellowship, let's go.
My testimony is real.
Amen. We have to realize that God's grace is sufficient. No matter what's going on in your life, it's the grace of God, all things by Jesus, that things be worked out, that you get the strength to keep going on, that if you slip, it's there to pick you up. Grace can do anything and everything but fail. The grace of God is real, it's powerful, it's strength. It's a gift that God has given us because he knew we would need it. God's grace is sufficient. And now it's time to go to God's throne of grace in prayer. God is affording an opportunity for anyone who would like to pray at this time. You just have to press the one button on your phone. Someone has pressed the button. Sister Pam? Yes? Your mic is open. I will bless the Lord at all times, for his praise shall continuously to be in my mouth. Father God, we give thanks tonight for life, thanking you for allowing us to come together for another Wednesday night Bible study, thanking you for our sister in Christ and our teacher, Minister Diane. Father God, I pray that you continue to bless this Bible study and continue your anointing over our sister in Christ, Minister Diane. We thank you for your grace, O Lord. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your son, Jesus the Christ. Father God, we give you all praise, we give you all glory, and we give you all honor. In the sweet, holy name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen, and thank God. Thank you, my sister.
Thank you so much
for that prayer. Thank you so much.
Welcome.
If anyone else would like to pray, it's not too late. You could press the one button on your phone. If not, we'll go with the lesson. Well, tonight, the title of our lesson is God is the Potter, and we are his clay. We're coming from Jeremiah, the 18th chapter, verses 1 through 6. And for many of you, this may be a familiar scripture, and you may have studied and you may have teaching on it. But I want to tell you that God has a way to reveal his word to us at different times. You can read a scripture last year and read it today and get new revelation. The Holy Ghost know what level you are at now, so he may share more illumination to you. Or God just feel his time. Because I can only give information. I come Wednesday after Wednesday with scriptures and I'm giving information to the best of my ability, but it's the Holy Spirit that brings the truth, bring the word of God to light and life in us. So, talking about the pot and the clay tonight, but as always, I do a little background or intro. Sometimes I talk about people, places, or things. And the intro is going to be about Jeremiah the prophet. We know that a prophet is someone that God give a word to the prophets to bring to the people. They are spokesmen for God. God speaks through his prophet. And there's 17 books of writing in the Bible of prophets. We are taught that there's 5 major prophets, if you ever heard that. And there's 12 minor prophets. And it's not that one prophet was more loved by God or was, you know, so this or so that. The thing that separates the minor prophets from the major prophets is the amount of writing that they have listed in the Word of God. Jeremiah was a major prophet. You see, Jeremiah, the author of the book of Jeremiah, and he lived in a time when the nation of Israel was crumbling down. You see, no doubt, Jeremiah was 17 years old when God called him. And he had a great turmoil inside of him, fate of his people. And Jeremiah begged them to listen over and over. The scriptures let us know, even though the prophets came with a word from God, people didn't always listen. And Jeremiah was still a young man. You see, the Lord called Jeremiah. In the book of Jeremiah, if you want to go look it up in the first chapter, verses 4 and 5. Then in the scripture says, then the word of God came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nation. You see, it's real good when God lets you know why he chose you and give you instructions on what you to do. You see, Jeremiah was fearful, and he accepted the responsibility. But because of his fear, he says, I'm still a child. But God said to him, say not I'm a boy, for you shall go to all that I send thee, and whatever I command you to do it. Be not afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you. From that moment on, Jeremiah lost all fear and delivered his sad prophecy and warnings without regard for the king and the strong men. They were ruled by kings. And sometimes the kings want you to shut your mouth. But he didn't care who he had to bring it to. Jeremiah was trusting God. And you see, many times you'll hear that Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet. And because he cried tears of sadness, not only because he knew what was going to happen. See, God gives his prophecies up. The prophet understand it and try to get the people to understand it. So he was sad because he knew the outcome. But he was sad because no matter how hard he tried, the people would not listen. We know that God can do what he wants, when he wants, for who he wants. And you see, moreover, he found no human comfort. God had forbidding him to marry or have children. God know what he's doing, y'all. God doesn't make no mistakes. And because of his role where people didn't want to hear, his friends had turned their back on him. So along with the burden of the knowledge of the impeding judgment, he also had felt very lonely. God knew this was best course for Jeremiah. You see, through his loneliness and isolation, Jeremiah became to doubt God, you know, when you're just feeling so low. But God was not done with him yet. Jeremiah preached for 40 years, and not once did he see real success. So I encourage y'all who are praying for a loved one, or a child, or a neighbor, or a friend, and you just don't see any change. You got to keep doing what God told you to do. You might have did it for 40 years, and in the 41st year, they finally get it. You can't make them get it before the time. You don't create the time. You still have to share the word of God and just keep it moving. And whenever God gives you the opportunity to speak, speak and keep it moving. He didn't see any change in 40 years or the softening of the hearts of the mind of his stubborn, idolatrous people. What we learn from the life of Jeremiah is the comfort of knowing that just like every believer, even great prophets of God can experience rejection. Not only great leaders and prophets, but look what they did to Jesus Christ. And soon as somebody look at us the wrong way, we have a great problem. Many times we don't even want to forgive for a mistake that they may have made in reference to you. It's time out, y'all. And time is running out. They felt lonely and depression and rejection, discouragement, and their walk with God. The prophet of God showing you that just because you're a man or a woman of God that you will have opposition. Everybody ain't going to like you. Some ain't going to like you just because. But keep doing what God has you to do. Because that's where your success lies. You see, this is a normal part of growing spiritually because our sinful nature fight against our new nature. There's a war going on every day in our lives, y'all. Sometimes the flesh wins and sometimes the spirit wins. But one of the most powerful analogies in the Bible regarding our transformation and sanctification in the Lord has to be the analogy of the potter and the clay. God is illustrating his sovereignty over and in the lives of his people. And the Bible has stated that God is the potter and we are the clay. We're going to go into the scriptures at this time, and I'm in the 18th chapter of Jeremiah for those who have their Bibles. And I'm going to start at the first verse. I'm going to read the first and the second. And the word of God said, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, rise and go down to the potter house, and there I will cause thee to hear my word. God was teaching Jeremiah. And at this point, God told Jeremiah to go to the potter's house. See, God wanted to give him evidence of giving illustration of how he worked, going to work with him and been working with him and how he works with all of his people. So it's amazing God sent him to the potter's house. You see, God wanted Jeremiah to understand the lesson he was about to teach. So he sent him to the potter house to see what the potter do with clay. And God is encouraging us to accept him as the potter and ask him to mold us into the clay. We have to be the clay and allow the potter to make the vessel. You see, the first thing the potter does is place the clay on the wheel. You see, once we accept Jesus as our Savior, we then become his children. We enter the positional process of sanctification, and it's when you're placed on the wheel. See, God is teaching a lesson on sanctification. Come on. And transformation. He's showing you how he do with the clay, and that's what he want to do with us. But we got to submit ourselves. You see, once we accept Christ, we are in a positional process of sanctification. When we first believed, we got in a position to receive all that God has for us. And you see, once we're in position and a potter puts the clay on the wheel, then the molding and shaping began to get us into our intended purpose, God's expected end. You see, Jeremiah 29:11-12 say, "For I know the thoughts I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you." This was happening at the progressional process of the sanctification, the beginning. But after we accepted Christ and God accepted us, and the process begins, but that's not where it ends. You see, what happened to potter then, now y'all got to open up your mind. I know maybe no one really saw potter doing clay in real life, but I'm sure you have seen it on TV, and many of you may remember that the movie where the girl, Demi Moore, was dealing with the clay on the wheel. So open up your imagination. You see, the potter then have to add water to make it flexible, adaptable, and soft enough for him to be able to accurately use it. You see, if it's not enough water in the clay will remain hard and rigid for use. You see, the word water in the Bible is symbolic of the word of God. So what is this saying? That once God began, he put the water in us. He gives us his word. Hallelujah. And then when we get enough word in him, we are soft enough and adaptable enough and flexible enough for him to be able to actually use us. In other words, the word of God is like water to our souls. Just like our physical bodies need water in order to be able to live and survive in this world, our souls need God's word flowing in and through us in order to feed us on the inside. Little word, little power. Much word, much power. That's why 2 Timothy 2:15 say we should study to show ourselves approved. Workmen need not be ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth. There's a difference between reading the Bible and studying the Bible. And I come to tell you tonight, if you never pick up a Bible another day in your life, God is still going to be God. God know every word, every chapter, every verse in the Bible. God gave that moral compass and daily writing and for our daily living for us. You're not doing God a favor when you're taking your sit down and hold a Bible. It's for your good. It's when something go on in your life and in the middle of the night when you can't sleep. If you got enough word in you, the Holy Ghost is going to come and bring some up to your memory, and you're going to be a little bit better than you was. The word of God is for you, to strengthen you, to bless you, to give you peace, to give you joy. Little word, little power. What this is telling us is that God can even begin the sanctification. God cannot even begin the sanctification process, which is to mold and transfer us in this life, unless we are first willing to do our part, growing in the knowledge of our Lord and by studying the word. God has provided everything we need to be the best we could be in God. God is not short of anything, and no one will have an excuse to say what God didn't give or what God didn't do. God put it there. What we do with it is what we do with it. You see, the word is necessary in the molding process, because the more you know, the more you will grow. And Christian growth is very, very important to a child of God. And I could give you an example right quick. I don't know about you, but I have met many people that have been on the battlefield for a long time in the church house every Sunday for 20, 30 years. And I've come across people who don't even know that Genesis is the first book in the Bible and Revelation is the last. No Christian growth. Hallelujah. You see, the Holy Spirit is bringing the word to our minds. But I got to let you know tonight, he can only put out to you what you have taken in. So that depends on you. That depends on you. And I tell people many times in my teaching, and I get people and they say, Minister Diane, I feel so bad because, you know, I'm older and I've been in the church so long and I don't know this and that. I said, be encouraged, my sister and brother. God has you right where he wants you. But from here, since you acknowledged it, how fast and how far you go depends on you. So hold on and just keep doing what you're doing. God always tells us to never look back. Just go forward in the name of Jesus. And then you see what happens once there's enough water in the clay, it's soft enough and ready to be worked. Then the potter places it in the center of the wheel. However, if the piece of clay is not properly centered, the potter will not be able to work with it. Just like the potter cannot mold a piece of clay into a piece of pottery that he's trying to make unless it's perfectly centered in the middle of the wheel. I tell people many times, you got to be in position, which is like perfectly centered. You got to be in position to receive what God has for you. Sometimes when I used to go to church, and I wouldn't go to church, but there's a goal for that, people to say, oh, you miss your blessing. I say, yeah, right. But after I got to more wisdom, understanding, and knowledge and truth, I began to understand what they meant. You know, God might have a word for you over there, and he's asking you to go over there. But you refuse. He may ask you to do this, do that. But you do what you want. But you got to be in position. And you see, God knows who will do. And God knows who he wants. God know who won't do. That's why many times some people say, why everybody keep coming to me? Or why so many burdens are coming my way? Because God know he can use you. Why would God send somebody who need help to someone he know will never extend anything to anybody? That's why, you know, they say, Lord, if you can use anything, please use me. So we have to be perfectly centered in him by giving total surrender to him. We must stay in position. We have to always be connected. You see, Jesus has to become both our Lord, Savior, and Master. Some people just look to Jesus and thank Jesus for being a Savior. But have you made him the Lord of your life? And we have to really say, not our will, but thy will be done. And at some point, we have to stand tall and say, Lord, I want to give you all of me so I can receive all of you. You see, once the clay is on the wheel, the right water has been applied, and it is centered correctly and in position in the middle of the wheel, then the wheel began to turn. You see, the wheel has to move slow and steady as it turns. And you see, this is how God is patient with us. You see, the potter is using his hand to mold the clay into its intended purpose. If the wheel turns too fast, the lump of clay will again tear completely apart before he can make it to the finish line. In the same way, the sanctification process is a lifelong process. We are being sanctified daily. The scripture said a race is not given to the swift, but those who endure to the end. Hallelujah. When we die or Jesus returns, we have to have patience with the Lord and how he wants to work and build our lives in him. It ain't going to be over till Jesus come and get us. So until then, we are in the progressional sanctification process. You see, Jesus left and Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you will be also, which lets us know heaven is a prepared place for our prepared people. And here on earth is our preparation time. God has seen what he has given you and what you have did with it. I talk about a parable many times that God is looking for a return on his investment. Hallelujah. We know the parable of the talents. When the master came back, he wanted to know what the head did. And that's the same way God is going to do us, because see, Jesus is going to get all of us, the church. And when he gathered it all together, he's going to present us to the Father. And it is our goal that our living had not been in vain, and that God will say, my good and faithful servant, well done. You see, in our fast-paced, self-centered world, we are used to instant everything. But in God's realm, he usually works things out sometime in such a lower time frame than we're used to. We always want to do everything we want to do, have it our way. But soon as we have an emergency, we want it to become God urgency. We have to be patient. And first of all, trusting God is saying God knows best. So the time frame in which God works in is the best time frame for whatever it is to be worked. Simple as that. You don't get to put the time on hot when God's got to do something. You bring it to God. You trust God. And you leave it there. I could give you a little story. A lady whose name is Sister Lucas. She died in 2020. She had a son that has been incarcerated over 30 years. And Sister Lucas prayed several times a day for her son. Sister Lucas supported her son in all of them years. She would go to the prison on, you know, however visitors was. She never gave up. Well, lo and behold, like I say, she died in 2020. But her son went to the parole board on April the 18th this year. And after all those denials, after all of those setbacks, after all of them turned down, the parole board decided to let him go. His mother's prayers was answered. She didn't get to see the manifestation. But she had that much faith that it would happen. And that's how we have to do when we pray for ourselves and others. We got to wait till our change comes. She didn't get to see her son, the parole board, say yes, he could go. But the prayers she sent out for all of those years were still answered. We don't get to pick the time, y'all. And I'm asking everybody to pray for that man, because even though the parole board had said he could go free, there's paperwork that the governor has to sign. And since April the 15th, I don't know how long it takes to get the papers to the governor, but the governor has not signed, so he's still locked up in bondage. But I'm sure he's feeling a little bit better, well, a lot better about his situation. The world we live in, y'all. You see, if we do not learn how to go with God's flow and time frame, we could end up getting very frustrated and impatient and eventually ending up losing out. Because you see, you start taking things in your own hands. You start thinking God needs your help and you're going to help him fix it. Abraham and Sarah, God promised them a child, and they waited, and they thought God was taking too long, and Sarah decided to let Abraham go into her maid, that the child would belong to Sarah in a sense, because it would be Sarah's property, because his mother was Sarah's property, and they hooked it up, and they begin to feel they could help God, and a big old mess happened, and we still feel an effect from this day. Can't take things in your own hands, or you shouldn't. We all need to be patient, because the Holy Spirit is operating in us to help keep us. Trust it. And you see, faith is what produces steadfastness. And then you see what happens next. Once the lump of clay is spinning on the wheel at the right pace, then the potter takes his hand and pushes it down on the top of the clay to create an opening in it. You see, once this opening has been made at the top of the clay, the potter hand then goes deep inside the middle of the clay as it is forming out. And he then uses his hand to properly shape the piece of clay as it is building up during the spinning process on the wheel. God is letting us know he is the one that is doing the work. Come on, y'all. God is letting us know he's the one that's doing the work. His hands are working in both our inside and out while molding, shaping, transforming us for his glory. Y'all know we were all created for God's glory. And there's a scripture in Philippians 2 and 13 that says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will. That means give you the ability and to do. So it is God that's working in you both to give you the desire to want to do you and giving the provisions for you to accomplish it. It is God that working in you to both will and to do his good pleasure. God said, I'm a work in you to get my pleasure. You just got to submit. God is doing the work. We just got to let him. You see, in the same way, God's own hand is literally goes down deep in the middle of our soul and spirit where the inter-sanctification work is done. We must learn to cooperate with the works of the Holy Spirit. Since God is doing the work, the actual supernatural work on the inside of us, it can become rather painful and unpleasant at times. Y'all know change is inevitable, but growth is an option. People don't like the change. You see, he will be removing all of the bad and negative qualities that he will not want you to have operating in your life. And at the same time, instilling and imparting all the good things. You see, a good amount of pressure has to be applied. And you can all remember this, no pain, no gain. You see, it's going to be removing toxic qualities such as pride, arrogance, bad temper, and lust can be very painful due to our flesh wanting to keep these negative qualities operating in our lives. It's a battle. The potter knows what he wants the finished product to be. Not our will, but his will. It's all of yours for all of his. Hallelujah, y'all. You see, the potter cannot stretch the clay beyond his limits. If he does, the clay will tear up and be completely destroyed. We have to make sure that we do not stretch beyond what God is calling us to do for him. Some people just jump in this and jump in that and do this and do this. Stay in your lane. The Bible says that there is one body with many members. And everybody got something to do. Now, the word of God also says that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So some people is just taking up free rent in God's word, in God's world, because they don't cooperate. They don't do their share. They're not doing their part. The obedience and doing the work of God and letting your light so shine is how we say on this earth. So many people are living and it's not paying rent. And that's, you know, going to always be the case. They don't want to live for God. They don't want to listen to God. You know, they want to do their own thing. And they'll tell you the things you're doing. God don't expect that. God ain't asking for all of that. Like you're making it up in your mind. He's not going to stretch you farther than you could be stretched. And God will never, ever ask you to do something he haven't equipped you with. He's not going to ask you to operate in gifts that he didn't give you. He's not going to ask you to give what you don't have. So don't ever get it twisted. Satan might set you up with some of that. But God knows. Look what they say. The potter cannot stretch the clay further than its ability. God knows that each one of us is capable of doing. And he never asks us to perform something he knows we are incapable of doing. So whatever God asks you to do, just do yours. And you'll be done, please, God, 100%. Stay in your lane. Don't have a spirit of covetousness to want to do what Mary do, and you want to do it how Sally do it. That's not the way God designed it for you. You see, the potter has to keep his eyes on the clay. That's why God tells us he'll never leave us nor forsake us, because this is the word of God, and God is saying he's the potter and we the clay. And we know that a potter has to keep his eye on the clay as he worked with it. The potter then takes a knife and cut off the excess clay that has accumulated around the pot as he was molded in it on the spinning wheel. You see, this is when God is circumcising our heart, removing the fleshly things and smoothing out the rough edges. In the same way, God is always pruning by arranging and rearranging us so that we can handle the next matters in our lives. The potter when the pottery is completely dry, it is ready to be fired. This initial fine removed the water so that the piece can be glazed without returning to mud and breaking. You have to dry it. Because if you put that glaze on top of that clay and there's water in there and the water can't come out, that's just like you don't paint wood when it's wet, because it'll rot in the inside. You see, once we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are glazed with the blood of Jesus to be kept and to help us not to turn back to our old nature. You're sealed and glazed by Jesus and the Holy Ghost. You see, and then they have another firing, and then they fire the pottery a second time before it's ready for use. God say he will be, say we will be tried in a fire, but we will come out as pure gold. You see, the fire is our trials and tribulation that God uses to get us in a matured position. And I guess sometimes it could only be a test, but God uses it to build you up. God uses it for you. You might go through and think it's really bad on you, but God is showing you what you're working with. And when you come out as pure gold, your faith is on a rocket. It's shot up like a rocket. It's for you and your benefit and your good. And the scripture in verse 3 say, then I went down to the potter's house. This is Jeremiah. And behold, he wrought a work on the wheel. Full. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in his hand of the potter. So he made it again. Another vessel as seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, O house of Israel, can I do with you as the potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. See, Jeremiah had to go back and talk to the Israelites. And you got to realize back then, you know, they made their pots and their vases and their water pitchers. So it was a lot of pottery things being made. way more than we have today. In most places, just about probably everybody had a spinning wheel. So when God used the analogy of the potter and the clay, it was something that they were familiar with. You see, as the potter molds or shapes the clay pot on the potter wheels, sometimes defects often appear. The potter has the power over the clay to permit the defects to remain or to reshape the pot. That's deep. Likewise, God has the power to reshape us to conform with his purposes. God is in total control. And as I get ready to close tonight, our strategy should not be to become mindless and passive, which is one aspect of clay. See, some people are saying, well, clay don't do nothing, da da da. Don't get it twisted. Understand what God is saying. They might say clay is mindless and passive. Why would he use this as the process? And it's what God wanted to you, and there's a lesson in it for you. But we don't want to become passive and mindless, but to be willing and perceptive to God's impact on us. As we yield, he began shaping us into a valuable vessel. So I encourage you tonight, let Jesus fix it for you. He knows just what to do. Whenever you pray, let him be the potter and you become as clay. And I guarantee you, he will fix it for you. And that's the lesson tonight. Any comments, questions, or concerns? Anyone would like to say anything? Caller, your number, Minister Paul, your mic is open.
Hi, woman of God. I just wanted to say thank you for the wonderful teaching, and may God pour back into you all that you poured out for us on tonight. Great lesson, great lesson, great lesson. Thank you.
Thank you, my sister. And I know it was a familiar lesson for some of you guys, but God always has newness in his word. Anyone else would like to say anything at this time? Well, if not, we could have our benediction. And I'm asking tonight, will someone lead us out with a benediction? Well, what I can say is, may the Lord watch between thee and me while we absent one from another. And let Jesus fix it for us. And if it's God's will and your desire, we'll be back on next Wednesday. But until then, realize that grace is sufficient. God is truly in control. Trust God. Let the Holy Ghost lead you. And your life will be fulfilled. In the mighty name of Jesus. So good night, everybody, and be blessed.